31 minutes past the hour. You are back on the Mike Allen Show on Real Life Radio. Privileged to have via the wonders of Skype, Chelsea Zimmerman, who is the editor-in-chief for Catholic Lane, also has her own blog, reflectionsofaparalytic.com. We're talking to her all the way from the beautiful Sunshine State. Sunshine State. Tongue twister this early morning. Chelsea, welcome in.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. Say yes. Sunshine State five times really fast and you may have trouble.
I wish it was the Sunshine State lately. It hasn't been. So
I'm going to have a hard time conjuring up a lot of sympathy, I'll just have to say. But, you know, nothing but the best for you, Chelsea. Mm-hmm. You know, that's all I want anyway.
Likewise.
Of course, as we know, and you do such great work informing and educating and directing people to issues related to bioethics. And it's always a fun time in January to kind of, whatever the topic is, look back over the prior year at the highs and the lows. And you were kind of, I guess, inspired on this by the Center for Bioethics and Culture Network and putting together a list of the good, the bad, and the ugly in bioethics in 2014. So maybe let's talk about those in turn.
Yeah. There was quite a bit to talk about. Hopefully, I didn't really, do a comparison, but I hope there was more good than bad, and I hope there's more good than bad to come. But the bad also always seems to kind of overpower things, and for me, and I tend to focus on the negative a lot, in other words. So, but there were some good things that happened too. A lot of it centered around surrogacy was a big issue in 2014, and of course assisted suicide. I think those are going to be the two things that we are going to, besides abortion in terms of pro-life laws and stuff, I think those are going to be the two things we're going to see crop up more here in the States. We're already seeing it, of course, but and there was a lot to talk about last year, especially with assisted suicide. Obviously, for me, the big issue, and we talked about this on your other show last time I was on, was the Brittany Maynard case, and was she 29 years old, the young woman who made headlines for killing herself, and because she had basically end-stage cancer, and she chose to end her life prematurely before the cancer would overtake her life, and that was a huge thing, especially in the later part of the year, and it was, I think the biggest thing to me, it showed just not a positive sign for the future of where we're headed with assisted suicide.
You mentioned that. I saw, I think it was just yesterday, I don't know if somebody had posted a link on it. I guess Meredith Vieira had a reflection, but I guess where she interviewed Brittany Maynard's widowed husband. And of course it was all portrayed as what a beautiful, courageous, and what a peaceful moment when she passed. And anybody who has a differing opinion must just be stony hearted, I guess.
Right. And well, CNN, I think they added their list of, they're looking back at 2014. She was one of their, people of the year for killing herself. I mean, this is just absurd and not a positive sign for where we're headed in terms of assisted suicide. I mean, the way she was supported in her decision, and then in her message. I mean, she became a spokeswoman for suicide in the last weeks of her life. She was everywhere, and Compassion and Choices, which used to be the Hemlock Society, was putting her everywhere. She was doing interviews and writing articles and advocating and pushing for legal assisted suicide, which is more accurately doctor-prescribed suicide, everywhere.
Mm. You make the point, which I think you say so brilliantly here on your blog. It wasn't long before Maynard's death, we were all mourning the tragic suicide of a famous movie actor. That's, of course, Robin Williams. And collectively advocating suicide awareness and prevention from those suffering from mental illness. Why does our tune change for the physically sick and disabled? Instead of calling for suicide prevention, we cheer them on to their deaths, and we call on our medical professionals to help them die.
Yes. I mean, that, and it... Once somebody's physically sick and disabled, once you have you're terminally ill, whether, if you have a terminal illness or some sort of, incurable disease or whatever, then it's like, oh, well, of course you'd want to kill yourself. I mean, why would we want to stop you from doing that? Mental illness, we still seem to think that, we should prevent those people from killing themselves. But yeah, we have this double standard and what was most disturbing about, Brittany Maynard's suicide was it wasn't about hastening, the death as the last result for a terminally ill patient. I mean, this was a preemptive strike to just avoid any possibility of pain. Or more importantly, I mean, her main concern and what she repeated over and over again was her loss of autonomy. And
you raised the positive sort of counter image of that with someone I wasn't aware of, 19-year-old Lauren Hill, as a good, witness on this issue, who herself had her own rare disease and terminal illness.
And she turned it into something positive. I mean, she made headlines because they kind of bumped her up to start in her first college basketball game. Because she wasn't going to have to, she's a freshman, but she got to start in a college basketball game, which was her dream. But then she used her last, she's still alive, I believe. I mean, she's in her, in the final stages or whatever, she's still alive, but she's using it to be a voice and advocate for cancer awareness. She has a very rare disease. She's raised $1 million for research for this disease that she has, and she's just taken it and turned it into something positive. And because, it can be death. I mean, it's something we all face, and it's scary, and it's not something we want to we think of as positive. But some of these challenges that we face like this can be turned into something positive, and she definitely did that. And 19 years old.
Wow, tremendous. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about surrogacy here for a few minutes, kind of change gears. We talk about American exceptionalism all the time, and certainly not the case on the issue of surrogacy with at least the winners from the CBC network and from your own blog being other countries recognizing surrogacy as the moral problem that it is.
Well, I think it was an article on MercatorNet that dubbed 2014 the year of international surrogacy. So I think they're seeing the negative effects, not necessarily from just a moral and ethical standpoint, but from a legal standpoint. Obviously there was the Baby Gammy episode in Thailand where a Thai surrogate gave birth to twins. For a couple in Australia, one of the twins had Down syndrome. The couple took the healthy child back to Australia and left the child with Down syndrome in Thailand. And,
wow.
And just different stories like that. A lot of them, like I said, legal issues. When you're talking about a child born in one country and then has to go to another country, how does that work? How does the paperwork work on that and stuff? And so I think international surrogacy, they're starting to see a lot of negative things happen there. And I think that's why certain places are, like Thailand, as a result of the Baby Gammy thing, Thailand passed a law in Thailand to ban surrogacy in their country. There's no real good way to regulate this, you know, and make it, you know, legally better, which is what we've been trying to do actually here in the United States. There were some surrogacy laws. One of the big ones was in, I didn't put this on my website, but I quite frankly forgot about it. It was earlier in the year, but Bobby Jindal vetoed for like the second or third time, a bill that would basically legalize surrogacy, make it a state-sponsored, you know, state-recognized thing that it's not right now. And Bobby Jindal vetoed that legislation. So that was a positive thing for the United States. But
I like this quote from the Prime Minister of France, who stated that surrogacy will be banned in France because it is an intolerable commercialization of human beings and commodification of women's bodies.
Exactly.
That's strong language.
And people are seeing it, I think. And it's amazing to hear that from a politician, basically. You don't.
Yes.
Surrogacy, you think, is something that's, you know, like IVF and other forms of third-party reproduction, something that seems generally accepted, but we're starting to see a lot of negative effects from that. And
as with all, really, with all sins or evils, it's the pursuit of a good. You know, parenthood is a good,
right?
And certainly, that's an innate, written into us, our desire. But it doesn't justify what's an intrinsically evil means, and and what leads, as the church always warns, and the churches, you know, that kind of reminded of that line, Jeff Goldblum, Jurassic Park, I hate always being right. you know, the church always sounds these warnings, they get unheeded, and then
it all unfolds. Yeah. We don't like to see these awful things happen, like with baby Gammy and that kind of stuff, but, you know, it does kind of show the world, kind of open the world's eyes to the negative aspect of some of this technology.
Chelsea, it's been a pleasure, and I look forward to having you on a monthly basis. We'll maybe send you some packets of coffee or something to keep you awake. But the work you do, reflectionsofaparalytic.com, of course, your work as editor-in-chief in Catholic Lane, raising these issues and this awareness, very, very important part of our conversation, and appreciate so much. Pray blessings on you, and hopefully sunnier days in Florida ahead, and blessings on your family, okay?
Blessings on your new show.
Thanks so much, Chelsea. Take care of yourself.
Thanks a lot. You too.
All right. Bye-bye.